Hello, and welcome to the On SOA podcast series. In this special set of podcasts, SOA journalist Joe McKendrick interviews the authors and contributors behind the book, SOA Design Patterns, the newest title in the Prentice Hall Service-Oriented Computing series from Thomas Earle. You can learn more about this book and download sample chapters at soapatterns.com. Also, while listening to this podcast, you can look up any design patterns being discussed at soapatterns.org, a community site dedicated to the ongoing development and expansion of the SOA Patterns catalog. For more information about other series titles, be sure to visit soabooks.com. Now, here's Joe McKendrick.
Hello, this is Joe McKendrick, independent analyst and author of the ZDNet Service-Oriented Architecture blog, as well as the eBizQ SOA in Action blog site. And I'm here with Thomas Earle, author of SOA Design Patterns, published by Prentice Hall. We've just wrapped up a podcast in which Thomas talked about the history of the book and the site, soapatterns.org, how it came about. And Thomas is now going to explore with Thomas the patterns and the inventory of services that have been identified within the book. Thomas, welcome.
Thanks, Joe. Nice to talk to you again.
And let's start to drill down. The book has published 85 distinct patterns developing and managing service-oriented architecture. Can you discuss the categories, what kind of patterns you have published in the book?
Yeah, the book is basically separated into three primary parts. The first is specific to patterns that are primarily related to what we call service inventories, which are collections of services that you can establish independently within an enterprise. And there are different approaches toward doing that, and that's something we can talk about if you like. And the other two categories have to do with patterns specific to or primarily related to service design, and that relates both to the design of the service contract and the design of the service logic, as well as governance-related patterns for services. And then we also get into service composition design, so patterns that help us define and establish various aspects of service compositions and overcome common problems with them as well. The one other category in the book is dedicated to compound patterns, which are patterns that are comprised, are core screen patterns comprised of other patterns.
Okay, great. Well, can you tell us a bit about the first section of the book, service inventories? Can you, first of all, define what is a service inventory, and how does this fit into the patterns we're discussing?
Yeah, it was an interesting term. It the best way to think of a service inventory is as a collection of independently standardized and governed and owned services. So the reason that whole concept became necessary was because there was an early perception or an early assumption that in order to adopt SOA successfully, you would have to do so enterprise-wide. It would have to be a global initiative that had global data models and enterprise-wide standardization. And if you were unable to do that, then SOA itself would not be suitable for your environment. And as we had various pioneering projects attempt to approach SOA in different ways, the concept of an inventory emerged because we had to be able to begin identifying ways of adopting SOA across the enterprise without requiring that the standardization and the governance of the services themselves, the delivery as well, be regulated on an enterprise-wide basis, because especially with larger organizations, both private and public sector, there are so many organizational and cultural challenges emerged that made that type of enterprise-wide adoption challenging. So many of them had to do with various IT departments not wanting to give up authority they've traditionally had, or different architects or managers having difficulty reaching a consensus as to how to best approach the adoption and the standardization, and then, of course, the subsequent governance. And because so many IT departments are so large and have just culturally sort of silo-based organizational structures, the adoption of SOA on an enterprise-wide basis had its greatest challenge coming from the organizational and cultural issues, much more so than any technical-related challenges. And so the concept of an inventory emerged, and we have two ways of approaching this. If we view an inventory of services as a collection of services that belong within a particular boundary, then we have the ability to segment the enterprise into domains and basically establish what we call a domain inventory, the ability to establish more than one independent collection of services that can be independently standardized, the services can be independently delivered, and most importantly, the services can be independently governed and evolved within their respective collections, within their respective boundaries, as long as those boundaries, as long as the scope of those individual domain inventories is still meaningfully cross-silo. And often this ties into aligning domain inventories with business domains, existing business domains like lines of business and so on, and having a collection of services that represent perhaps 20 or 30 business processes within that business domain and facilitate that. And so that's an alternative approach to adopting SOA, but it has proven to be highly successful, and it's a very critical pattern, especially from a initial planning perspective, because you have to know whether or not you're moving toward a domain-based service-oriented enterprise or not early on, or ideally you know that. And so that's something that is documented early on in the book, and there are a number of service inventory-related patterns that are also provided to deal with various types of standardization, design, and governance issues pertaining to those collections of services.
And this is a very important challenge for organizations. As I've seen SOA evolve in a lot of companies and organizations, it's typically been in the form of islands of SOAs, I like to call them, islands of services, without a particular overarching governance structure or enterprise governance structure.
Right. And that's actually good that you call that out, because that is not what the domain inventory approach is about. The islands of services that we've seen have been very reminiscent of silo-based applications in that services were delivered for tactical reasons to address immediate requirements for a given process or a given set of business processes or business requirements. And the enterprise perspective was never part of that delivery, and that resulted in the island. So that is very much in line with how silo-based applications have been delivered previously, and that sets up that type of environment for a lot of integration projects in the future when you have to connect those islands at a later point, which, again, is not really what SOA is about. SOA is about the enterprise perspective. And when we look at different scopes of inventories, one inventory itself is not like an island. It's kind of like a continent onto itself. It establishes a boundary, and you still accept the fact that in the future, if you do have to carry out cross-domain composition or communication, there are integration-related layers that you have to add in terms of transformation processing and things like protocol bridging and data model transformation when you communicate between the domains. But the domains themselves are so large and significantly scoped that you still are working toward, to a very meaningful extent, those strategic goals associated with service-oriented computing. You're still fostering a lot of reuse. You're still having very broad interoperability and still establishing very, very significant federated endpoint layers and so on.
I like that expression, moving away from islands of SOA to a continent of SOA. That really sums it up very nicely, what we can accomplish here. When we're looking at the service inventory or domain establishing domain inventory, is this an exercise? I mean, should the SOA proponents within the organization be looking at these types of patterns before investing in a registry repository and governance solutions of that nature?
Ideally, yes, if you understand ahead of time, if you've done enough analysis work and enough research within your own enterprise to know that an enterprise-wide service inventory, which has its own pattern called enterprise inventory, which is the ideal state, but if you've come to a point where you know that that is not realistic given the factors within your existing enterprise, then it really changes the complexion of your adoption strategy when you can now view the enterprise as a set of domains. And you don't have to have it all figured out in advance every time. You can use a domain inventory approach to phase SOA into an enterprise by starting with one domain, only focusing on that, developing that, and even before getting into subsequent or neighboring domains, allowing its scope to be defined as it evolves so that you get a feel for, okay, this is the way it should be, and then moving on. So it can also be tied into a phased adoption. But to answer your question, yes, the more of that advanced thought you can give to that, the easier it'll be to follow this approach, because it can be difficult to pursue enterprise-wide adoption and then basically shift and reverse and try to do a domain approach later on. Having said that, many organizations who've gone ahead with SOA initiatives, they have not yet adopted it enterprise-wide, even if that was their original intention. So they may have only gone to a certain extent, in which case you can still apply a domain inventory approach to this by basically changing your subsequent steps in your plan and looking at what you've established so far and then beginning to draw boundaries around that.
And one of the big challenges in the SOA world is, IT in general, I should say, is the alignment. You hear this expression, this word used a lot at a lot of conferences by a lot of analysts, the business and IT alignment. SOA has been seen as a vehicle, a way to help achieve this alignment. And looking at the domain inventory approach, which you're discussing, that seems to be the way to kind of map it out. That seems to be provide a roadmap.
That it's a huge step toward that because, I mean, how you define the domains is up to you. Sometimes organizations choose to base their domains based on geography, based on having different IT departments geographically dispersed and them having traditionally their own ownership, and therefore that constitutes a domain. There might be authority structures that establish the domain. So this department, even if the department itself is involved with more than one business line or existing business domain, it itself might establish a domain around its own domain of authority. But the healthiest way of doing it from a long-term perspective is to align the domain inventories with business domains, and regardless of what underlying boundaries that might cross, because that does set up on a very broad scale the foundation for achieving the maximum extent of business and technology alignment that we're always in pursuit of. It's one of the primary strategic goals of service-oriented computing is increased business and technology alignment. And then within those domains, we further work toward that by developing various types of business services that can encapsulate logic specific to the business entities and business processes and other business intelligence that lies within those respective business domains upon which the respective domain inventories are based. So there's a lot we could talk about there, but from a high level, yes, you really have an opportunity to do that when you think of your domain inventory approach.
Great, Thomas. A very good way to manage an SOA effort. I want to thank everybody for joining us in the podcast today. This has been Joe McKendrick talking to Thomas Earle, author of SOA Design Patterns. Thomas also maintains a community-oriented site, soapatterns.org, in which you may view the patterns or even contribute thoughts or ideas. And then please join us for our next podcast, which will deal with another important business-related issue that patterns address, and that's data-related patterns. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for listening to this installment of the On SOA podcast series. To learn more about the Prentice Hall Service-Oriented Computing series from Thomas Earle, please visit soabooks.com. Also, all the books in the series are available online at Safari Books Online, which can be accessed at safari.informit.com.